this is the first part of New Age. I'm going to call it New Age and New Thought. One of the hardest parts in doing this was trying to narrow down just a super basic definition, basic teaching, because there's going to be some words in here that are going to sound familiar to you, and then it's going to go, well, what about this? And then we go into multiple rabbit trails. So this is a very just general statement about New Age, and I do want to provide some time for questions about, you know, whatever it is, whatever word you heard, and then also I'm of course available after this and before service and after service. If you're going to get mad at me, I am unavailable. So just real quick, Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. You know that when someone quotes the Chronicles of Narnia, that this is going to get weird. So this is from the last battle, and then she understood the devilish cunning of the enemy's plan. By mixing a little truth with it, they had made their lie far stronger. And we kind of see why this is a counterfeit, especially with Mormonism and especially with New Age. You're going to hear some true things that would be said about Jesus or would be said about salvation or would be said about even the Bible, but it just makes their lie even stronger. And Walter Martin, he's the author of The Kingdom of the Cults, he would say that that's probably the most dangerous religions if there is a little bit of truth sprinkled in. So for our first section, it's just a question, where are we? Where are we today? I don't think it's a secret anymore that New Age stuff, New Age practices are really at the forefront of everything. You walk into Barnes & Noble, especially around Halloween in October, you will see right on the front desk or even whatever the first thing that catches your eye. It's usually a table for tarot cards, sometimes even Ouija boards, a lot of witchcraft books. A lot of like mindfulness books. And so it's like it's not hiding anymore. And you see that in a lot of things, and we'll see how we've gotten there. So the rise, in the next little title, the rise and death of the secular religion. Now the Renaissance, 14th and 17th century, brought forth what is called secular humanism from an ancient Greek model of thought, which could be summarized with man is the measure of all things. And then into the 18th to 20th century Enlightenment, and I'm going to go on record and say there was nothing light about the Enlightenment. Also, it was, to my surprise, it was actually very occultic. Even though it would go, it would change their faith from man. Faith would be in rationality, which is why sometimes the Enlightenment was called Age of Reason. But if you were to look at some of the biographies of those who kind of pushed the Enlightenment, they were doing occultic stuff, but they tried to do it in secret. And so with the help of Darwin, Marx, Nietzsche, and Descartes saying, I think, therefore I am, religion was ultimately abandoned by the quote-unquote modern man. So faith in reason became the form of worship and the source of salvation. And even the church began to reinterpret Christianity in an anti-spiritual terms and thus became theological liberalism. Ironically, the secularist prediction of the withering of religion, it is the secular humanism that is dying currently. The focus on what I would just call, like we have our five solas, what I would call sola human reason, promoted a soulless religion that ignored an essential aspect of humanity, which is spirituality. We have souls. There is an aspect that was completely disregarded during secular humanism, which is our souls, which is our spirituality. And then what happened with that is when the soul was removed, there was a craving of the soul, and then a vacuum was created, which just took in whatever it took to have that fulfillment for the soul. So our culture today, you can see that a soulless secularism is inadequate to face the deep problems of our life. There is a return to any form of spirituality and any form of mysticism. I know a guy who found mystical spiritual fulfillment in the Norse gods. I worked with him, and I just asked him how the job went, and he would say, the gods blessed me, and he would write Nordic runes in the dust. We work up high on cranes, and he would refer to Odin and refer to Thor and refer to all that. So this is old, ancient stuff that that anyone will just grab onto. This is a return to paganism, ancient and modern, and I would say it is return of the old gods. This is, I think, the next great challenge to historical Christianity in our time. It was secular humanism, it was the age of reason, and I think now it is a return to paganism, a return to our old gods. Vishal Mangalwadi, he's a Christian philosopher, he would say, rationalism, the Enlightenment's path to earthly salvation, has reached a dead end. Therefore, many sensitive people are hoping that non-rational mysticism might enlighten us. Now to what I would say a long march of New Age, and really to define the danger and the goal of New Age. 2 Corinthians 11, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. I would imagine that verse is pretty familiar to us. Again, this is going to get weird because I'm about to quote Frodo Baggins. at the time when the hobbits were running, and there's a point to this, I promise, even to this verse. At the time when they were running, they met at the Prancing Pony. They met Strider, Aragorn, and he tried to help him, but he didn't look very friendly. And in Frodo's wisdom, he said that, I think a servant of the enemy would look fairer and feel fouler. Now to them, Strider looked fouler, but he felt fairer. And that is, I think, a definition of New Age. It looks really good on paper. It looks really nice. It looks really enticing, but it feels weird. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with someone who, they wouldn't call themselves a New Ager, but if you would have a conversation, even with some Christians who kind of dabble into the stuff, there's something in your soul, there's something in your mind where there's red flags, there's a red light. It's like, this doesn't sound right. And so they look fair, but they feel foul. There is nothing about New Age. We can also find its origin at the event of the fall in Genesis 3, where that famous question, did God really say blank? And then also Gnosticism, the ancient heresy, which is kind of stands for secret knowledge or inner knowledge. It plays a major role, and I think that it's history on how this, it's actually a pseudo history and how the world began, could be the foundation of all New Age doctrine. A study of the last 100 or so years, it has shown a long, quiet march of New Ageism in America. It has influenced politics, including feminism, the LGBT plus community, and even, I'd probably say the most recent with BLM. Of course, entertainment, we see that in movies. We see it in music. You see, / the 60s, a lot of the music in the 60s did have some kind of New Age aspects of it. Just below, there's a quote from Jim Morrison, who's lead singer of The Doors. He would say, there are things known and there are things unknown, and in between are the doors. This guy, Jim Morrison, just real quickly, he was a serious occultist. You can see it in his songs, Brick Onto the Other Side. That was really, like, that's what he wanted. He wanted to break down that barrier to the other side. So he was a pretty, foul man. So he was an occultist. But so you see that even in music today, a lot of the music videos, there's a lot of cultic symbols, pagan symbols. And then, I mean, I don't watch the award shows, but those performing, I just see clips of it on social media. And I mean, there are some who are just doing a straight satanic ritual on stage, and no one's really saying anything about it. So you can see how comfortable it has become in music, and of course, athletics. There's a lot of things that athletes would do to, I mean, help them perform. And like I said, with walking into Barnes & Noble, there is witchcraft really on the front shelf. And then medicine, modern psychology has some aspects to it, and then psychedelics. There's a rise there's a trend where psychedelics are being used more and more, and then promoted with people like Joe Rogan and even more conservative scientists. I would say like an Andrew Huberman. I'm trying to think of someone else. Yeah, I think Joe Rogan would probably be the most popular one trying to promote psychedelics for your health, for your mental health, and just many other things. But there is a big issue, and I think we'll get to that next time. New Age has, I believe, permeated our culture so much that it has infiltrated mainline Protestantism, Protestant churches. Because I think it would be hard to find a Christian church that would invite a Mormon elder or an imam, which is someone who teaches Islam, to preach or provide training on a Sunday service. Just below those quotes, it's getting easier to find churches that will hire/recruit Christian astrologists, Christian psychics, Enneagram teachers, and even yoga trainers for their training. What a lot of New Agers would say is, I'm not spiritual, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. And that's very similar to, it's a relationship, not a religion. And so that was one of the first, instances where I felt weird about it. So I would just say it's kind of the same thing. The goal of New Ageism can be summarized with the ancient saying, as above, so below. It's actually very ancient, and then it just kept going on and on and kind of changing a little bit. And that would mean that the mystical union of the spiritual and the physical, the mind and the spirit, the joining of opposites, a communion with the one. And that O is capitalized on purpose, the one higher power, the one source, the one being. The one force. Aleister Crowley he's considered the most evil man on the planet. He was a serious occultist. He was, there's a lot of rumors about him, but he had a what he called a spirit guide that might as well have been Satan himself. This guy is a pretty serious occultist, and he's referred to amongst New Agers as a point of authority. But he would say the great work, which is actually something that he taught, is the uniting of opposites, the uniting of the soul with God, of the microcosm with the macrocosm, of the female with the male. So there's some androgyny there, of the ego with the non-ego. So essentially, the goal is to dethrone God and deify man. Peter Jones, and this is a resource, The Other Worldview, something I refer to a lot. He works with Ligonier. So there's some series about New Age stuff, and then we'll hear more from him pretty soon. This is where, this is kind of like a call to arms. This is an encouragement to not just, because I understand that this could be, well, that's too out there. I don't think that really affects me. And it may not, but it could affect someone around you. And so I do think it is really important to understand this stuff. I don't think we need to understand everything about the Norse gods or the pagan Asian gods or African gods. I don't think we need to go down that route, but a basic, maybe even further than a basic understanding of New Age would be so helpful for our church and your family. And then, of course, just in general. So Peter Jones would say, we are not dealing with some marginal cult or a new theory that can be resisted with little effort and goodwill by the American heartland. The ancient pagan giant is stirring. The formidable beast of thought and practice that dominated the ancient world is now at our door, demanding authority in our homes, laws, and even churches. Needless to say, it is essential that that contemporary Christian believers understand the true nature of this opposing and recently reappearing spirituality. And then, like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, we must say, we buy the truth. So one way that would be easy for anyone, as you're talking to someone, to kind of decipher whether they are in the New Age and even discern lie from truth is, this is Peter Jones's method of one or two. He would say that there are only two worldviews. There's the biblical worldview, and then the others. There's oneism and twoism. Oneism, and there's an emphasis on oneness in all the Eastern religions, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, and Sikhism, and etc. Oneism would say that we would need to get rid of the distinction between religions and see that they are one of the same in experience. And so I'm pretty sure we've heard something along those lines where, well, we're all really the same. And even to you know, I would say them, to Christians, like, you guys need to learn to understand that we are all one of the same. You need to be more inclusive. Peter Jones would say, oneism sees the world as self-creating or perpetually existing and self-explanatory. Everything is made up of the same stuff, whether matter, spirit, or a mixture. There's one kind of existence, which in one way or another we worship as divine or of ultimate importance, even if that means worshiping ourselves. So dethrone God and deify man. Twoism, which is where I would say that we would fall into. There's a distinction. There is God, and there is everything that is not God. Everything created and sustained by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This worldview celebrates otherness, distinctiveness. We only worship as divine the distinct personal triune creator who placed essential distinctions within the creation. In twoism, there is the creator-creation distinction. The worldview does not base divinity in the creation, in nature, but in the external self-existence of the creator. So if someone is talking about inclusiveness, someone's talking about a communion of opposites, you can think this person is a oneist. So they're trying to worship themselves, and of course, talking to a Christian, talking to once amongst ourselves, you would hear the language of a distinction of the creator creation as we refer to God in our conversations. Now, like I said earlier, I think the pseudo history of Gnosticism is the basis of all New Age. So I'm going to say it's all Gnosticism, man. Gnosticism. I know those who did the First John study. Gnosticism was prominent around that time of First John. It originated in the first and second century amongst Christian circles and is considered heretical. the first chapter of John, first chapter of First John, he really is rebuking Gnostics on how they first saw and even felt physically Jesus. The basic teaching of Gnosticism was that the physical world was created by an emanation of the highest God / force, the monad. Remember when we talked about that with Islam, Allah is a monad. He's just this one being who instilled what is called the divine spark within humanity. Like I said, remember Islam's teaching about humanity's problem is not sin, but ignorance. And I'm going to go on record and saying that Islam is a Gnostic faith. It's not a two-ist faith. It doesn't fall under two-ism, because really they just need knowledge. You need to get rid of your ignorance. This divine spark is to be realized by gnosis, a secret knowledge into humanity's being, into humanity as being divine in nature. So in nature, we are divine according to Gnostics. And then you would see that a lot in New Age teaching. One reason that is deemed as heretical was that it teaches that salvation is found in oneself, not in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. Another reason is that it teaches that man and God are by nature equivalent. Gnostics would say that we would share the same essence as God. So again, the goal of Gnosticism / New Age is to dethrone God and deify man. The central idea of Gnosticism is that the physical world is flawed, corrupt, and not our true home. Our body is a prison for the soul. So physical pleasures, religious rituals, aspects that can be beneficial for our body are seen as a distraction that keeps a person asleep to their true spiritual identity. The only way out is gnosis. The only way out is inner knowledge, and thus creates somewhat of an abandonment to what is physical. Today, Gnosticism influences us today, most notably in what is taught in New Thought, and we'll get there. And I'm going to say, including the rapid rate of those who identify as transgender. Someone who identifies as transgender is ultimately rejecting their physical nature to what they truly believe is who they are, which is something else. And so it's this inner knowledge that they're having. No, I believe that I am a woman trapped in this man, this body of this prison that is shaped like a man. So that's where it's really influencing our culture today. And I would say even in Christianity, there is Gnosticism that influences us with a posture amongst Christians that seems to only focus on one's inner spiritual life. So even with your kids, I would say that many Christian parents want their kids to be saved. But there is kind of like this is your journey. You need to do it yourself. I'm good. My inner spiritual life is pretty good. You need to work on it yourself. I just lost where I was at. So focus on one's inner spiritual life, and then not focusing on what is outside of themselves. And I would say even pertaining to what is called just practical theology. I know that can spark a conversation. I'd be happy to have it with you after. All right, so here we are. So New Age and New Thought. Who has heard of New Thought? I'm sure everyone has heard of New Age. Okay, just a few. New Age, this is another resource I would recommend. The Second Coming of the New Age by Stephen Bancars and Josh Peck. Not the actor. This is a different Josh Peck. Although it would be great if that actor had come to know the Lord. The New Age movement is a spiritual system of thought and practice composed of beliefs, values, and traditions from various schools and religions throughout the world. Not surprising, New Age will claim that they will accept all religion and then in the same breath reject the historical biblical Jesus, his plan of salvation, and his word, because Jesus himself is establishing an exclusive faith. That you can't just bring in whatever you want. There is a denial of yourself. He is, and there's only one way to the Father, and it's through him. So he's being very not inclusive. And so there is a belief that in New Age, there is a belief that we don't become divine. We already are divine, inherently divine. The inner self is ultimately God. Under the umbrella of New Age would include this whole list, and I might as well just go through it. Buddhism, Hinduism, mysticism, transcendentalism, which contains an innate natural connection to a higher power. Gnosticism, as we've gone through. Paganism, magic, and I didn't spell it wrong. That is a magic with a K at the end is actually to discern between something like an illusionist would do, a sleight of hand kind of thing. Magic would be like I mean, what you would think magic would be. Whatever it would be. I mean, I want to say Harry Potter, stuff like that. I'm not saying don't watch Harry Potter or don't read Harry Potter. I'm just saying that that's what the magic with the K would be. Pantheism, all is God and God is all. Panentheism, God is in all is in God, including this podium right here, including my iPad. And that's not a joke. I'm like, panentheists would be serious about that. Omnism, which is the recognition of all religions, they would take multiple aspects, whatever they like in all religions, and make their own. Occultism, witchcraft, meditation, which is the emptying of the mind, yoga, psychedelics, channeling and medium. There are, for some reason, Christian mediums. Divination, which is seeking wisdom through objects. Sorcery would just be as you think. Mind science, which is new thought. Reincarnation, astral projection. Has anyone heard of astral projection? No? Okay, I'll just explain it real quick. I know, okay, cool. Basically, it's, just simply, you'd go into a deep sleep, and they would say your soul would come out and really go explore the other realm. I don't think that that a person can separate their soul. I don't think they have that power. So what I think is happening is that there is a legit experience that someone is happening, that something is happening. So if someone, I know people who have told me that they astral project, and they would tell me what happens, and it's, again, there's that, this feels foul. So I don't think he separated his soul from his body. I think he actually experienced something demonic. Just simple as that. It's demonic. Ufology, yes, this is not just the little gray guys. There's like a seriousness to this, to the ufology. And then spiritual psychology, which is law of attraction, manifestation. And I know that some of us, it may have come out of charismatic theology. I know a lot of you have watched the Cessationist movie. That's pretty much what it is, the name it and claim it theology. New Thought, another resource called Happy Lies, Melissa Doherty. So this is actually this is multiple quotes, but I think it flows pretty well. And it's a long one, so. New Thought makes itself look more open-minded, look like the more open-minded, tolerant, loving, and true way to view Jesus, the gospel, and the Bible. New Thought is a loose set of philosophies and contains frequent contradictions among its adherents. The core teachings revolve around the recognition, realization, and manifestation of God in humanity. From the power of mind over matter, positive thinking, and visualizing your way to health and prosperity, it's everywhere. New Thought ranks emotions, experience, and intuition as equal to reason. It emphasizes the individual self as being authoritative, often while claiming Jesus taught these concepts. Jesus was a model, a universal principle for self-realized human potential, and together we progress to become co-divine with him. Just to interrupt, otherwise that would be called something called Christ consciousness. Has anyone heard that? Okay. Again, a conversation for later. It is God made in the image of us. It is Jesus without dogma. Your inner voice is the source of inspiration, health, and power, and prosperity. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good observation. Also with just telling the truth that there is contradictions amongst even New Age and, of course, New Thought. Now, with the beliefs New Thought would share, they share a lot with New Age. So basically, you can take that list in New Age and drop it down in New Thought on this list right here. And so, of course, and there's also many distinctions on what they would practice. So they would do something with crystals, so crystal energies, essential oils. I don't mean that if you have doTERRA in your house that you are practicing paganism. I want to make that clear, because as my allergies get worse, you best believe I'm sniffing peppermint to help me out. So if you have essential oils, if you rub lavender on your kids to help them sleep, You were not practicing witchcraft. Crystals, which are a real thing that God has made, oils, extract of whatever is something that God has made, and it's not inherently wicked. Just seed oils are. So again, you can, I mean, I don't know how to tell you what to do. You can use essential oils for your health. What the issue is that they, New Thought, New Age would believe that crystals, if you go up to Sedona, there's crystal shops everywhere, and essential oils, that they contain vibrations. They contained literal energy to help you. So I know people who wear crystals for good luck. I know, and this could even be seen as just writing, drawing a symbol or whatever. So that guy who worshiped the Norse gods, again, he would write a rune in the dust, and then I would kick it off. But no, he would see that as like this. This is my form of good luck, so I can be safe up here. And so that's really what the crystal energies and essential oils is for those in the New Thought. The Enneagram became very popular amongst Christians. That is a New Thought practice. Astrology, numerology, which is finding your lucky number, or again, you can just write your number, whatever. I know I've seen people with tattoos of, I mean, any number. Usually it's, you know, 7 or 3 or whatever. Seen them on necklaces. Chakra balancing, which would be in some schools of yoga. Spirit animals and spirit guides. Again, there are testimonies of those who would, you know, who are now Christians, they were once New Agers, that they would have a spirit guide. They would have a name. They would be nice to them. Things would get pretty scary, and they would call in the name of Jesus and they would be gone. So they legit saw things in their room. They saw things in their presence and they deemed it as a guide. They communicated with these beings. And they would take the form of a person or even an animal. I would not deny, if someone told me that, I don't want to go, you're crazy. I would most of the time probably believe them because I mean, they're experiencing something. There's something called sacred geometry. Really, it's these elaborate, and you see them in these like boho shops, farmers market tables as well. It's just these elaborate asymmetrical shapes with a bunch of lines and dots. It's a form of, you know, good energy. It's hung up on walls. It's turned into blankets. I mean, I remember watching a show one time. He cut this poster that had sacred geometry and put it in his shoes for good luck and prosperity. So again, it's a similar thing with like crystals. They think there's a vibration to it, especially with the certain symbols. Ascended masters. So basically, any religious teacher that has ascended to popularity, including Jesus, we would be someone called an ascended master. Because they believe that all religions are pointing to one thing, Buddha, he did his own thing, going to the same source, so did Jesus. So Jesus, of course, is not God. He became divine in order to reach his full potential, and that's why he's so popular. Mother Earth, Gaia, otherwise Earth would be called Gaia. So Mother Earth worship, and that's in some aspects of climate change teaching. And so that's really it with New Age, New Thought. And so one of the things that came up when I was teaching this first is in the high school ministry was there is a reason that Christians are doing some of these things. And talking to some of the pastors, they would say that like the more harmless part of New Age, which be New Thought, Christians are kind of, you know, they're dabbling into that. So I would just ask, you know, with the history of Gnosticism, with the history of New Age, and there was actually, I had a few biographies of 5 prominent leaders, Aleister Crowley included, someone named Helena Blavatsky started something called the Theosophical Society, which really, it didn't start the feminist movement, but the feminist movement refer to her as if she was Jesus. Didn't call her Jesus. I'm just saying, like, the importance of her and her teaching skyrocketed the feminist movement. So with those and even Aleister Crowley saying, in order to get in my school, you need to do some of these things. And then we would look at it and say, it was like, well, some Christians are doing these things. So the question I would ask, which is from 2 Corinthians, is what agreement has the temple of God with idols? So what agreement would our Christianity have with these New Age practices? I know Christians who do astrology, like pretty ritually. I know Christians who think that there is a number for them that when they see it on an address driving, they're like, God's going to bless me. So in my experience, those who call themselves Christians and then adopted these harmless practices of the New Age ended up finding a false sense of fulfillment and end up wanting more and then ultimately leaving the true faith in the true God. The goal is I don't want to bind consciousness. I'm not telling you what to do. You guys are all grown, but I want to actively call for consideration and if needed, examination. Because these practices are mentioned in Deuteronomy 18. I'm going to have you read it on your own time, so you guys don't get mad at me. So I started with the last battle. I want to end with the last battle. There was a false god. If you've read the book, there was a false god, compared to Aslan. And Aslan would say, if you call on this false god, which is Tash, they'll come to you. And so I think that's kind of, it fits with dabbling into this stuff. If you've done it in the past, I'm not saying you're going to be a pagan. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if there's a continual seeking of fulfillment in these things, you call on Tash and Tash will answer you. Not because he is true, but because you have called on him. And so I'm going to end with that. So I know we have a couple minutes, maybe a little longer for questions, and that's it. I'm going to go home after this. So, okay, Michael.
First of all, I think this is really good because I think subtly this is involved in Christianity way more than we even realize from what I've seen in our culture. You can probably tell that by what's acceptable in culture versus what's not. And this type of stuff is very acceptable. But my question is, visualization, a lot of practices around positive, like visualization, and we used to do like meditation techniques. And they're obviously, I'm curious as to where you think the line is between like visualizing an action of doing something right correctly versus it being a spiritual practice.
I did sports as well, and my sport didn't have a playbook that I would try to see into the future, and think of what would happen if this happened and change my plan if I need to. So, as you know, I wrestled, so I didn't have a plan. I didn't know the guy. I just knew that I had to win. And so I'd visualize, okay, if he does this, I'm going to do this. If he's more defensive, I'm going to be more offensive. And so I don't think I was doing I think I was visualizing my plan of action. What I think happens is there's the like meditation, the emptying of the mind, the visualization that I think a lot of athletes do is the name it and claim it kind of stuff. And so I think that if a football player was to go, I'm visualizing this, I want to execute this plan, and now there's a blitz, now I'm going to do something else. I don't think that's the positive thinking, the emptying of the mind that New Age is talking about. I think it's when you go, I'm going to do this, and that will, and how, basically visualizing the win. Like, of course, we want to win, but I think it's the name it, claim it kind of stuff.
I think it's further. Spiritual way, the power, like the energy, like you were talking about,
yeah.
It almost has some
Yeah. So the action of you sitting down, meditating, and visualizing is going to affect the outcome. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, the fact that you are doing that is like it's a guarantee to win or whatever it is. I hope.
Rather than almost like when you practice, like you're physically practicing to get better, and using that as a practice, not as like a spiritual.
Right. Technique. Right. Yeah. So I like Mike Tyson's quote. You know, you go in. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Right.
I think a new thought would not even think about that. I think whatever they're thinking is just going to be true. So. Eric was first.
Well, I was just going to add to that. It's like it crosses the line when you believe that you're visualizing it into existence.
Right.
In other words, I'm going to visualize it, and this is how it's going to happen, and I believe this.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Visualizing it into existence. I just trying to catch. I don't think the mic will catch you, so. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing that's interesting is I think a lot of us would have a vision board, right? I mean, they're especially in their 20s, right? I want to graduate college, I want to get married by this year, have this many kids by this age. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to plan for that, but trying to manifest that's where the line gets crossed.
Yeah, I think for me, I only want to speak what's edifying, right? So I got a ton of questions that I'm going to say right now. I think for me, this idea of something was in the water with this New Age idea, when I'm sure some of our forefathers can say the Warrens, the 60s, and the 70s, the forefathers of our day. Do you guys remember Hank Kendergraf, Bible Entering, right? So my stepdad listened to him growing up, and I thought, he was so on point. Well, he left Orthodox Christianity, and now he's a Greek Orthodox. So do you think that that's kind of when we started to see this shift from fundamental Christianity to get something more to the religion that was needed? And again, I don't know if I'm just forming it in a thought, but I began to notice it happening, and I was puzzled because why would the Bible Answer Man leave that foundation to come over to Greek Orthodoxy, like he needed to add something to the gospel?
Can you ask like the question? Like what was the actual question?
So it's hard. I'm trying to form it in the idea of a question, you know what I mean, is for thought. But do you believe that he's, you know what I mean? Like what changed from him before to shifting over? Do you think that had anything to do with a New Age influence or like a, you know?
I don't know much about Hank Kendergraf, but I mean, what time was he around? Like
probably the 90s again, when these guys were younger and in their 30s and their 40s, you know, our dads.
You were alive then too, Steve.
I was 12, 13 years old.
I mean, so. Devin wasn't, but.
I'm old too.
I was 96.
Okay.
So. So again, I don't know much about Hank Kendergraf. I just know that there was a, I think the 60s were pretty pivotal in like the hippie movement, and so I don't know what influenced him. There's just been multiple shifts. There was, like I said, the secular humanism and then the age of reason, and then it wasn't working for a few things. And I just think that the New Age stuff just slowly started creeping in. I don't know if that influenced him going into Eastern Orthodox. Now, I think Eastern Orthodox has a lot of mystical stuff that I think would go into that. And so maybe there was some form of fulfillment that he was getting, and it led him to Eastern Orthodox.
Brandon. I am an old guy. A lot of the stuff and a lot of the people that we thought were strong. strong believers and teachers, because my advisor in college had the same effect. If you do not teach your kids will lead you astray. Because my advisor went off the deep end because of his kids. And Hank Handgraff was probably the same deal. His kids got into the mysticism or whatever, and they pulled away trying to stay with their kids and to keep that relationship going. So keep your kids on track.
It's a good point. I've seen people do that, you know, with the LGBT or God movement too, where they said, well, now I'm facing this reality, and now they don't know what to do, so they compromise.
Yeah, I've seen, I mean, we've experienced that, yeah.
Some of the stuff you brought in today, I'm amazed, because I hadn't heard that stuff. And, you know, the stuff that we dealt with back in the 70s, it was, for me in college, it was kind of, some of that stuff was just kind of like boring, but it was like, but we've gone way beyond all that stuff.
Yeah, so on that point, too, I would say that, too, Warren. When we left your house watching the cessationist video, I told everyone on the way home, I was like, you know, I think a lot of people were just like, I don't really care because I got to deal with all this. So I don't really have time and these weird wackos, whatever. But to Devin's point of why he would be taking the time is that we need to be prepared for facing this stuff in the days ahead. Amen? And so we're trying to prepare us as the sheep, and we're trying to get ready for it. Because it's coming, whether it's a weird uncle or your neighbor. Something's coming, we're there. And even the Pentecostalism, you know, a lot of that seems really 99.9% correct, right. But it's that 1% that it's completely wrong. And I think we have to be very leery and careful. To that point, you're following your kids. I could use examples too that's so fitting to talk about where people are being led astray because, look, Dad, Mom, look how great this has been for our family. You should come and try this out. And I mean, we get this so often. And did you know that God is actually in the business of the miraculous and you can be healed of your infirmity? Just come. And it's like, it's just false, man. And so we have to be very careful to be very on guard. So, yeah.
I agree. Pastor Aaron here is speaking for us. I do want to get to yours. So last one.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was just going to...
Make it spicy.
Okay. Well, I know. I was just going to say, like, it seems... I can't remember exactly what you're talking about. You were talking about... Like, our world has left, like, the age of reason to go into, you know, like, very, very friendly toward paganism. Like, moving back toward that. Do you also think, like, because, I mean, I see this in our culture, ripe for revival. And, like, they are hungry. Like, the vacuum of the soul that you were talking about. Like, we've recognized that our souls want truth. And, so I was just... It's not completely hopeless because of all these realities. We're like ready for the true gospel. Like our country is not comfortable anymore.
Right. I'm actually really glad you did ask that because that's something that I wanted to promote it within our Christianity is not, of course, not go back to any form of spirituality or even supernatural belief, but going back to how God has intended it. So there's a saying, and I'm sure you heard the podcast, the world is not just stuff. There is another side of it. There is of this existence. And so I think going back to, I'm going to say mystical, because I don't think it's a bad word, going back to a mystical attitude towards God, towards towards what we believe in the gospel. And I would ask, you know, do you pray? That's a mystical, in the good sense of the term, communion with God of the universe. And so I think remembering how supernatural the Bible is, and really it's a supernatural miracle that God has preserved it even to us in 2025. And I mean, we've heard many stories of things that you know, many people, you know, surviving, you know, whatever. My wife just read something about Corrie Ten Boom. I guarantee you that there was supernatural stuff happening around her to keep her alive. And so I think I do agree that there's that vacuum that is created. And so like Vishal, he would say that it's to anything, any non-rational spirituality, I think that's true, but then it also means there is a ripe, some ripe ground for a harvest of the true gospel, because I mean, really, that's what we're missing. So there's a miracle that happens, a supernatural miracle that happens in us when we're converted. So I thank you for that. I wanted to promote that. So I know we're running a little late. I've kind of been waiting on them, but that's it. So hope to see you at our 10th service. Yeah.